time to talk business. Inc. Radio. Real stories, real solutions. Inc. Magazine has the knowledge and experience to help you grow your business and stay ahead of the competition. This is Inc. Radio. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Man, I really like that music. It's good music, isn't it? Hey, everybody, welcome to the show. Yes, I'm a businessman, I'm an entrepreneur, and I'm the host of Inc. Radio. I love my job. I love what I do. By the way, on the cover of Inc. Magazine this month, the magazine for growing companies, the May issue, Social Mission 2.0, a picture of a handsome guy's face, big blue eyes. Blake Mycoskie changed social entrepreneurship forever by founding Tom's Shoes 10 years ago. Now he's inventing it all over again. Page 88. He says, our mission is much bigger. It's about using business to improve lives. Well, now, gosh, that's pretty cool. I think that, when you own a business, when you found a business, you ought to try and improve lives because you have a lot of employees and people and your family, in my case, that are working with you. And these people become your extended family. It's interesting. As a matter of fact, I work on ABC with Kelly and Michael, Kelly Ripa and Michael Strahan. And I don't, if you watch the whole thing play out recently of Michael Strahan is now going to leave Kelly and Michael and go and be on Good Morning America. And my guess is in those negotiations, they said, you cannot talk to anyone, not your girlfriend, not your kids, nobody about these negotiations. You know why? Because Kelly Ripa probably makes about $20 million for doing that show. Strahan was probably earning half of that, about $10 million, I'm only guessing. And in his negotiations, they didn't want her to say, hey, Michael, you can probably get $15 million over at Good Morning America because that would cost ABC $5 million, right? Whatever it is. So the point is that she got blindsided by his announcement. And then she was so bummed out and so, just beside herself that she took a couple days off. But when she came back, I don't know if you saw and heard what she said, but it was basically this. Look, this is a family. I've been working for ABC for 25 years. These are my family. And you literally spend more time with your coworkers than you do sometimes with your own family, your dear loving wife or husband and your children. You're spending more time with your coworkers, so they become extended family. So I like the fact that Blake Mycoskie is on this mission to improve lives, as am I, as should we all be. But then there's the beginning of the story is, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, you hiring people and screening these people and finding the right people is really important. As Donald Trump said, it's the art of the deal, right? It's the art of the hire. When you're buying and selling anything, it's the buy that is the most important part. Because if you pay too much, you're going to buy and sell and lose money. The idea, the goal is to buy and sell and make money. So the purchase, the hire, whatever it might be, is the most important part of the deal when it comes to running a business. So those employees are very, very important. They are like your family, and you should look at them that way. Our first guest up today is a gentleman named Colin Day. He is the CEO of ICIMS Isims, and it's ICIMS.com on the web, Isims Inc. He founded this company way back in 1999 when he was 23 years old. So he's a pretty young CEO to have built a company to have upwards of 400 plus employees with offices in New Jersey, Beijing, and London. They have now over 3,000 customers, including the likes of Hertz, Amazon, Bridgestone, and Dish. And he's on the line right now. Colin, first of all, congrats, because now I know that's been a number of years since you started back in 1999. You obviously have a successful company at this point, and now you're here to talk about, actually talent acquisition software suite, which is, really about finding, screening, and hiring the right people faster. So maybe, taking off on the story that I've just told, family, business, employees, all very similar. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree. And yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Alan. Our big belief is that talent acquisition is critically important to an organization. And I think we always say if you look at any CEO and you really ask them, you know, what are the top priorities at your business right now, they will say it's hiring people and hitting my targets. And we'd like to think that you got to do the first one to get the second one right. And one of the things we're out there to say is we all know there's companies like Salesforce.com that are out there and just killing it in terms of helping companies hit their, you know, targets. But when you take a look at talent acquisition, there is not that similar best-in-breed software company out there, and that is exactly what we come in every day to try to become.
All right. Well, listen, I want to find out about your story because it is our stories that help us to become who we are. I'm interested in yours and how you've turned this company into such a dynamo for a young guy that has suffered a little bit and now enjoying the fruits of the wisdom that he has learned through those sufferings. We can share that with our audience here on Inc. Radio. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Calling all hot rod enthusiasts. Come out to the 11th Nashville Nationals on May 13th through the 15th at the Nissan Stadium. On Friday and Sunday, have your chance to ride Autocross for Kids to benefit the Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer, empowering the children and their families faced with pediatric cancer. To learn more, visit hatcherfoundation.org/autocross. Listening to Inc. Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, Inc.com. You can find all the podcasts that we do. Also, Inc. Magazine does something called Inc. Uncensored, which is the editors sitting around swearing and saying all kinds of nasty things. I'm joking. But it's the podcast. It's kind of the wild and crazy side. I have to keep it pretty nice for the syndicated version. Also, Inc.com has videos and all kinds of great stuff to read if you're an entrepreneur, a business person, thinking about becoming an entrepreneur, sick of that day job and want to move on. One of the problems that companies have is hiring. I actually met a person at the Inc. 5000 that had to hire 1,000 employees in 1 year. 1,000! Our guest right now, Colin Day, he's the founder and CEO of a company, Isims, and that is on the web, icims.com. It's Isims Incorporated. Again, you back, Colin, started this in 1999 at the age of 23. Whew. And now you got this gigantic company. Give us your story a little bit. I want to learn from your learnings.
Still learning, hopefully. But,
yes, as you will for the rest of your life, by the way. Don't worry about that. Keep on going.
I came straight out of school. I had a degree in psychology. I had a family of almost entirely entrepreneurs, and I do always say you kind of have to have the example to take a look at to want to go for it. But, came out of school, psychology degree, and ended up taking a job straight out of school being a recruiter. I never really had pictured myself being a recruiter, but thought could parlay the psychology into, screening people and finding people, and cut my chops at a staffing firm doing tech hiring for Bell Labs at the time, AT&T and Lucent right here in New Jersey.
Right.
And the entire time that I was doing this recruiting, we were actually building an internal piece of software to help manage that operation. So all the job openings we were recruiting for, all the resumes we were sifting through, and it just so happens that, you know, I've been writing business plan after business plan, desperately trying to figure out how do I get onto the entrepreneurial track and start doing my own thing. And, you know, they often say that the best opportunities are sitting right in front of your nose. And sure enough, I think just one day said, oh my gosh, you know, we've built a piece of software. I've got a company that would actually support us spinning this out and kind of starting a new company. And their CEO was not only kind of supportive of us doing the spin out, but also funding it. So straight off the bat, you know, you got to say that.
Well, that's rare.
Luck played a big part in kind of being right place and right time and having a funding partner behind us. Unfortunately, we sort of look back on the story. Luck also, you know, we went through a lot of unlucky periods, which was it just so happened, as everyone knows in the history, that about 2 years later, we witnessed one of the greatest crashes ever with the dot bomb.
Right.
And we were not profitable. We were still sort of relying on loans and funding from the parent company that we'd spun out of.
Oof.
And got a call one day saying, this is over. So the parent company called up and said, you know, we're done. We're in survival mode ourselves, let alone trying to fund a spinoff company.
Right.
And actually said, shut it down. The game is over. So had a very difficult night trying to think about, all right, well, how would we do that? And, you know, how do you sell assets? I don't know anything about shutting down a business.
Right.
And, very thankfully kind of woke up the next morning and said, that this cannot be how the story ends. So what do we need to do to survive here? And literally back of an envelope, calculated the revenue, calculated our costs, and just figured out that we could probably hold about 8 out of the 30 employees that we had. And so, you know, really, really difficult days and dark days, but had to fire 22 people in one day.
Oh.
And kind of say, all right, if we're going to make a go of this now, we're going to do it all by ourselves, all organically, not relying on anyone else's funding.
Mm.
And kind of very happy to say 13 years later, we've done just that.
All right, let's come back and let's learn the nuggets of what you had to do to become the businessman you are today and what ICM, what ISIMS is all about, ISIMS.com, and again, the talent acquisition software suite. Find, screen, and hire the right people faster. That's ISIMS. We'll be right back. It is Ink Radio. Black bandana, sweet Louisiana, robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel, and a stunner. Ready to become an entrepreneur and purchase a business, but need funding? Sure, you can ask Dad, Aunt Betty, or friends for money, or you can turn to a company that has helped more than 10,000 entrepreneurs successfully launch their dreams of business ownership, Benetrends Financial. Through Benetrends' proven and innovative funding strategies, entrepreneurs like you get the funding you need quickly, safely, and economically. Get started today. Call 866-423-6387 or visit Benetrends.com. That's Benetrends.com. Benetrends. And that's the sound you make when you have to fire 80% of your employees in one day, as CEO Colin Day did with ISIMS back when the dot boom happened. We're talking about his learnings and how he's 17 years later managed to have a company with 400 plus employees, with offices in New Jersey, Beijing, and London, with 3,000 customers plus, you know, like Hertz, Amazon, Bridgestone, Dish, big companies. So it's these nuggets that we're looking for, Colin, and thank you for being with us and telling your story. You know, it's funny, is the character of a man or woman, the character of a person, is determined by how they deal with those tough days. That may have been, besides family situations, that may have been the toughest day of your life, was it?
Oh, I would say absolutely.
Yeah.
It was one of them, and at age 40, I'm very prematurely gray, and I attribute a lot of it to that day and that period.
Right. Well, but so now let's walk forward. How did you rebuild after that horrible time?
You know, the lesson for us was, all right, you know, we can't rely on external funding.
Right.
Because if we do, you know, we're going to be subject to the cycles of the market. So it was we've got to do this ourselves. And if we're going to do this ourselves, we have limited resources, and so we're going to have to focus. And I really think almost every lesson we've learned over the last 17 years has been the power of focus and just saying, you know, I don't care what our competitors are doing. I don't care what the analysts are telling us is happening in our market space. Everyone, sort of an ADD world, wants to see you build more, come out with more, come out with new. And we felt that, you know, we've been somewhat contrarian in saying, no, guys, we're not going that direction. We're not going to build, you know, out everything in HR, just like all of our competitors are trying to do. We are going to hyper-focus on, for us, it was applicant tracking and talent acquisition, and just kind of prove out that you can be fantastic in one category and sort of dominate that category. And, you know, the good news is we had a North Star in that we watched Salesforce.com do do this model and started out and saying, you know, we are going to dominate a specific category. For them, it was CRM. For us, it was applicant tracking. And we are going to continue to focus on that until we've won that war. And then we'll think about branching out. And that's really that kind of tortoise mentality to Silicon Valley sort of hare race is very rare.
Right.
And I think it's really been what's differentiated us and allowed us to get to kind of where we are.
So let's talk a little bit about what you guys do now. So if somebody wants to hire and screen and find those right people faster with ISAMS, talk about this. What do you guys do?
You bet. So, you know, we are purely a software company. So we're not providing the services. You know, we're not doing recruiting or screening. But we have built what we call a talent acquisition suite, which is a software suite that gets you really all the tools that you need to source, recruit, and then onboard, kind of complete the transaction,
right,
new talent into your organization. So I think, as you mentioned, we do that for about 3,000 companies, and they are all walks of life. I mean, this is a very, very scalable platform. So we have, you know, plenty of customers that are sub 100 employees straight the way up to Fortune 100s. And it is pure SaaS. So completely delivered over the cloud.
Wait a minute. SaaS. No. Are you talking about being sassy? Because I'm sassy. What do you mean, pure SaaS?
We are as sassy as I think SaaS gets,
yeah,
which is, you know, everyone's on, same platform, same code, same version, same release, which makes us insanely nimble in terms of pushing out innovation, pushing out new software, and then also servicing the customer. It's essentially saying no more buying and installing insanely costly software. You get it all over the web. Everything's just configurations of a platform you can get up in a fraction of the time, a fraction of the cost. And, you know, it's all over the software industry. For us in recruiting, it was adopted quite early and quite rapidly just because I think people had gotten used to monster.com and LinkedIn and this idea that I can recruit
right,
directly off the web,
right,
web-based
right,
software.
So here's my question for you, Colin Day, CEO and founder of ISAMS. What are some of these nuggets that you've learned that you would say, you know, gosh, in my 17 years, the one thing that is the most important to me now is, do you have anything like that?
The focus message. It's the, you know, we live in a world where you can be better at one thing and make a huge business out of that. And that this idea of being that I'm just a behemoth who's mediocre at everything I do,
yeah,
is beginning to go away. So learn the power of focus, sort of define your market tightly and narrowly, the thing that you want to be the best at. And all I can tell you is it's been 17 years of defending that, of saying no. We get pulled in a million directions by customers who want to see us, you know, break out of that box and build other parts of HR software or take it to do this. I would say that is the number one reason we're still around is not, you know, what we said yes to, but, you know, all the things that we've managed to say no to keep that focus.
Wow. That is cool stuff, brother. That is cool stuff. Well, I think right down at the heart of everything we just learned is stay focused on your core. And I'm going to second that because I got a little too diversified at one point and it just, we lost focus and it just started going ugly. And as soon as we refocused, we found ourselves, our business came back. And like you, are doing better than ever. Congratulations, founder and CEO of ISAMS, ISAMS Incorporated, ICIMS.com on the web, Colin Day. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
All right. Okay, guys, stay focused. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Alan Taylor. Are you looking for an opportunity to buy a franchise, one that you can really wrap your arms around? Crunch Fitness is really a great opportunity for you. Now, here's a fitness company that's about 10 bucks a month to join. So even if you just want to join, it's a great deal. You want to check it out because I have been personally watching this company grow like crazy. Visit them online at crunchfranchise.com and be in business for yourself, but not by yourself, and have fun doing it. Well, you're listening to Ink Radio. I'm Alan Taylor. That's me. And Now I have a special guest, my friend, Paul David Walker, CEO and founder of Genius Stone Partners. He also is the author of the book, Invent Your Future, Starting with Your Calling. And you didn't even know it, but he's a poet. At least I didn't know it. And with Memorial Day weekend coming up real soon, he told me, he says, I've got a couple of really cool, real-to-life poems that you wrote, and I can't wait to hear them, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me. This is exciting. I know Memorial Day is really not a time to drink beer and celebrate. It's a time of mourning. People died.
Right.
And a lot of my friends were in Vietnam. Some of them died, and some of them had their lives wrecked. And these two poems are about that.
Well, it's interesting, and I mean, you and I had just a brief discussion about it. I don't know; it's been a couple of weeks ago, and when you have a chance to have time like this on the radio or with whatever podcast, or there's so many cool ways that people have the ability and the time to express their feelings. Those feelings they're kind of spiritual bridges, you know, and you can build a bridge from your heart to mine or from your heart or my heart to someone else that's listening. And it helps us to understand each other a little bit better. So yeah. Maybe you could set it up, tell about your first poem here a little bit, because all of this is to help us become better people, better business people, and because it is all very related.
Absolutely. Become better people.
Yep.
Well, I earned my way through college working in a cemetery digging graves in the 60s. And, of course, I had a lot of young men being buried from the Vietnam War.
Right.
My best friend from high school was there in Vietnam in the Tet Offensive.
Wow.
He survived, didn't bury him. So this poem is about that experience that I had for 4 summers, called Gravedigger. As the gun's first round blasts out, echoed by a mother's mournful cry, I stand waiting to cap the grave this last summer of 69, when the constant funerals made me feel older than my years. I remember earlier being at the bottom of that grave, carving the corners square, where sound is muted and still, and the earth smells cool and fresh. Enjoying a moment of silence below the ground, looking up from the darkness to the sky before the black funeral sends its dead down to this place I prepared for many others. Waiting out of sight with dirt on my hands in case of trouble, a line of black cars weave through the cemetery lanes while the honor guard waits so young and sharp, carrying guns and flags and a brass horn, whose sound, mixed with the tears, will carry the departed young soul away from us to heaven. The family and friends gather, moving like ghosts in a broken way I have seen so many times. As the prayers of consolation begin, I hear sorrowful whimpering as they try to comfort each other. Now the second round, echoed by a mother's mournful cry, but louder with the sound of why unspoken that I will never forget. Too soon the final round cracks out as the brass horn plays taps. General sobbing rises and falls. The soft notes signal the ending that I will still carry in my dreams and waking moments as sudden sobbing captures me unexpectedly, breaking my heart again.
Whew, man. That was you.
Yeah.
You had some real awakening there, don't you? And I think it's important for people to know, just if they just joining us, we're talking with Paul David Walker. He is the CEO and founder of Genius Stone Partners, his book, Invent Your Future, Starting with Your Calling. And the reason why we're talking about this poem that he wrote is because we're honoring our lost sons and daughters for the upcoming Memorial Day weekend and just paying homage with something that was so, you know, had such an impact on this man and helped to shape his life. And I can't imagine being in a grave like that, digging and just having that, you know, smelling the earth and having that, you know, that reality, Paul, that just must have been incredible. It's a beautiful poem, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. I know the first time I posted it on the internet, my friend who was in Vietnam in the Tet Offensive, and I was always like, oh boy, when he sees this, and I wonder if this is going to be something that he appreciates.
Yeah.
And he loved it. I mean, he called, he said, that is entirely appropriate for what we all went through.
Right, right. Interesting. On Facebook, I'm watching a friend right now. He does 22 push-ups every day, and he records himself doing it. And he's doing it to make people aware of the fact that 22 of our sons and daughters are committing suicide every day from PTSD. And it's because, you know, the horrors that those folks go through, that we, you know, me personally have never had to go through anything like that. My father, I was just with him. He's 88 years old. And he was talking about the, you know, the millions upon millions upon millions of people that were killed, you know, in previous wars, and how, you know, today, even though the wars of today are they seem very harsh. You know, the World War II was such a horrific thing, and that could so easily come back to haunt us if we're not careful, if we don't, you know, make sure that we learn from our past. And I want to hear, you have two poems. I want to hear the other one, but Memorial Day weekend coming up, everybody. And Paul said it, it's not about barbecues, even though we will. It's not about drinking beer, even though we will. But at some point we need to, you know, raise a beer to the lost and honor them. And that's what we're doing right here on Ink Radio. So I hope you don't mind. It's a little off subject, but it's good stuff. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with another poem from Paul David Walker. Stay with us.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure.
Across the globe, a child goes blind every 5 seconds. We live in a culture saturated with visual cues, but for some, the world is a blur. Since 1997, the Little Rock Foundation has been leading innovative social programs, advancing legislation, and providing information and education to those affected by visual impairment. Gain the resources you need or make a donation today to the Little Rock Foundation. Find us on the web at tlrf.org. You can make a difference.
I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to Ink Radio. A little special Memorial Day thought as Memorial Day weekend's coming up, and again, it is so important for us to realize that we must honor our lost sons and daughters. And my friend Paul David Walker, who is the author of the book Invent Your Future, Starting with Your Calling, and you can find that online, by the way, at inventyourfuturebook.com. He is also one of the early innovators of leadership consulting, coaching at executive level. Obviously, for more than 30 years, he's been doing this and successfully guided CEOs and senior executive teams from such companies that are, of course, Fortune 500 type companies, but New York Life, Mutual of Omaha, Chase, on and on and on. And you have, I'm sure, an incredible life that you've lived, because as I heard that poem, I realized that at a young age, when you were a young guy, you were conscious of the little things in life, and whether you were, you know, a grave digger at some point in your life, which led you down the path that you took, you know, that was starting with your calling. Your calling was to try and help people and do good with your life. And you've done that, Paul. So, tee up your next, by the way, your next poem. What is this one about?
Well, we built, you know, a large consulting firm, and one of our consultants, Penny Rock, after I left the firm, I got in touch with her and said, did you know I was a MASH nurse in Vietnam? I said, no. Well, I've written a whole book about that. And the book is around a young man called Davey who died in her arms.
Mm.
And
what's the poem called?
Buried Things.
Go for it.
I didn't know Lieutenant Angel until I read your poems today that you stood in the horror of a stream of broken bodies to repair young men from war. I was shaken worlds away by 21 gun salutes fired by young soldiers at the graves I dug to earn my way through college. I didn't know you were trying to save soldiers covered in blood as I was digging graves for those who came home in body bags after giving up their fight with death. I didn't know I would wait out of sight, hearing their mother's cry, looking at the dark procession muted by the cold rain, waiting for black cars, folded flags, and broken families to leave before I stood above their graves to throw the dirt with a thump onto their coffins, often the last one to see the boxes stained with tears that held them in the earth. As lined uniformed boys shot rifles into the air over and over again, I didn't know you were fighting for their lives and passing some on to me to be buried. I didn't know that you sang to Davy as he died. And I prepared resting places for the sons of innocent families. That part of me was buried with them until your poems released my tears. Now, I remember Bonnie's sad face, who had just received a call from a friend to tell us our handyman, who survived the body bags and tried to shake off the horror from his heart for decades, had died on the floor alone in his room from the wounds of a broken life and will never mend the cracked edges of our home again. Now, I cry too much. But keep touching hearts like you held the dying boys in your poems to help our grief roll out of us like storms and free our lives for peace again, as you have so many times before.
Well, you have definitely got the gift for writing great poems. And I think the reason this is important, by the way, is so that we can, you know, let the world know how much Memorial Day, how much more it means than just partying or going out on the boat or barbecuing. And when you do, folks, when you do hit Memorial Day weekend, make sure that you look up and you know, tip your hat to those who have made our world a little bit safer for us and given their all. You know, and that's really what it's about. Any further thoughts on that?
Well, and to the families and those who who suffer, you know, several of my clients are Marines. They were in Iraq. And part of the work I do with them is help them with PTSD, help them let go.
Right.
And I think Memorial Day or any ceremonial event, the key is that line, you know, to let our grief roll out of us like storms to free our lives for peace again. I mean, if you mourn, it's good for you.
Yeah. It's interesting, too. I know that in the business world, there are a lot of ex-military folks.
Yeah.
That, man, they have got an incredible determination. And sometimes, you know, the baggage they're carrying is so heavy. It's like amazing how they, you know, how they persevere anyway, carrying all of the horrors that we know exist. And more, you know, finally have figured out a way to put a post-traumatic stress. I don't even know that it is a disorder. It's just post-traumatic stress. And a lot of military folks will say it's not a disorder. It is what it is. It's post-traumatic stress. And so they're carrying that with them, and they're running these businesses. And all I can say is it's such an honor and a pleasure when I run across somebody that is military. I was going to say ex-military, but once you're military forever. It's a pleasure to work with them, and we wanted to just take a few minutes to make sure that before the weekend gets here, we start a little bit early honoring the sons and daughters and those families that have been lost to keep this country what it is, America. We'll take a little break, come back and talk with Paul David Walker a little bit more and relate this a little bit back to business. How's that?
Okay, sounds great.
I'm Alan Taylor. You're listening to Ink Radio, and thanks to Ink Magazine and the entire Ink Media Company for giving me the autonomy to do this type of stuff on this radio show. We'll be right back. Stay with us. In your place,
can I just have one more bed? Introducing the newest addition to the Craftsman C3 lineup, the C3 19.2-volt brushless drill driver. A brushless motor means you get 50% more runtime, 30% more power, and a motor life 10 times longer than the traditional brush motor drills. With up to 600 inch-pounds of torque, LED integrated lights, and a Jacobs metal ratcheting chuck to lock bits solidly in place, you'll get even your most difficult projects done fast. Available at Craftsman.com, Sears.com, Sears, Sears Hometown, and Sears Hardware Stores. Craftsman, made to make.
Well, thanks for joining us, and I hope that you are sharing our sentiments about the Memorial Day weekend and the celebration of life, you might say, for our sons and daughters, and fathers, and brothers, and family members. Memorial Day, a big, big weekend. I'm actually going to spend it at home with my kids for the first time in years. Normally, I'm at the Indy 500, believe it or not. It happens on the Memorial Day weekend, and it's the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 this year. Not the 100th anniversary, the 100th running because of a war. They didn't run it a few times. The 2011 was the 100th anniversary. But now we're at the 100th running here in 2016. My friend Paul David Walker, again, his book, Invent Your Future, Starting With Your Calling. You can find it online at inventyourfuturebook.com. Paul, the other night I watched a movie with my wife. She, her sister said, oh, you got to watch this movie. It's a great movie. It was the story of Peter. And I'll just tell you something real quick. I mean, maybe you put me in a spiritual mood for a second there with the way you're talking and your palms over there. But it was something that struck me that just bubbled up in the moment. And what it was the Last Supper with Jesus. Afterwards, and I'm not sure whether it was afterwards or before, but you'll get the point. He washed the feet of everybody. And they're like, no, you can't do that. And it was one of the big lessons that he taught, which was humility.
Yes.
That nobody is better or greater than the other. And I don't know why. I guess I've seen that before, but this stage of my life, I saw that and I went, wow, I got to make sure that I'm humble in my business and my life. And I'm starting to see that more and more in business. And some of these great business leaders that we have is they're learning how to meditate. They're trying their best to find humility. They're going to folks like yourself to find, you know, leadership skills. And so I guess I'll hand it off to you with that. There's got to be a certain righteousness in when you're in business, not in a righteous kind of like, hey, righteous man, but a humility to the way a person runs their life and their business. And I hope I'm not making it too difficult because we've only got about 3 minutes. But I'd love to tee this up for a whole other conversation as to how to find that humility in business and not be a pompous ass, if you know what I'm saying.
Exactly. Well, if you really know what you're doing, the enormity of the challenge, I wrote an article called The Climb, which talks about how we built, you know, the world's leading leadership consulting firm over the years. And, you know, you start with a real great vision. It was making a difference in the lives of people and the performance of organizations. And it got scary. And, you know, one of my clients who happened to suffer from PTSD and he's a Marine, so he goes into attack pretty quick. He has 2 master's degrees
right.
in business. And one of the things I said to him is, you know, nobody will criticize you for humility. And humility will not affect your ability to perform.
That's right. Although I think some people see humility as weakness. But I would say this to people. Don't be fooled. Don't take that weakness or their kindness and turn it into weakness, because we all have to make sure that we are striving to a higher place in life and not just
it's not just only about the golden rings and the bigger paycheck. It's really also, you know, look around you at your family and the balance of business and life and family and how you're dealing with your children or your friends and all that. All these things are relative. And they find their way out into the public at business. Because at home, you can keep it, encapsulated. But when you're in business, it finds its way out. And that's when you need to deal with it. And that's the best place to deal with it, truthfully.
Yeah. And it's all about the climb, right?
Yeah.
It's all about having this goal and being committed.
Well, wait a minute. Did you say you wrote a story? Is this the climb? Is it posted anywhere?
Yeah, it's posted on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Under my name. It's called The Climb.
Okay, you guys. Well, there you go. Let's take a look for that. Maybe we can invite you back and have you on again and talk about it. You can find him on LinkedIn, Paul David Walker. You can go to his website, geniusstone.com. Is it there too, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm going to go and download it and read it myself. You were a poet and I didn't even know it. And you did such a good job. I thank you for sharing those. Great stories while we kind of are moving toward this wonderful weekend to honor our family members and our friends and those that we may not even know on this wonderful Memorial Day weekend that is coming up. So you guys, as you move toward that, and make sure that when you are having that beer or soda pop or getting ready to, you know, do that barbecue, remember what it's all about. It's just like Christmas. It's the same thing. We have to remember the reason for the season and the purpose for the whole thing. Paul David Walker, thank you, brother. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm Alan Taylor. That's about it for this week. Guess what? You never know what's coming next week, so tune back in. We'll see you then. On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.